broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, this is Liberty Roundtable Live for January the 29th of the year of our Lord, 2020. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, an award-winning broadcast, well-known author of the book Racism, Schmacism. His award-winning show is every Saturday night, syndicated by Liberty News Radio. You want to learn more, you want to listen to archives or live, thepoliticalcesspool.org is the place to get that done. Kirk Cosby, Sam Bushman, James Edwards, talking about all kinds of things. And we're not here to attack Trump, but we are kind of wondering why we haven't got rid of gun-free zones first day, why we haven't been able to get rid of libel and slander laws the way they currently are protecting the media, the hate-filled media so much. Now, everybody around Donald's suing over this, but Donald's strangely silent. Now Donald's basically going to sign today the USMCA package, which replaces NAFTA. They claim it's better. I don't agree. I don't think it's better at all. I think it's just one set of bad for another set of bad. But there you have it. Rand Paul saying that Donald Trump's kids should sue. Schumer for defamation. Amen to that. But now let's talk about an interesting tidbit for you. There's a guy, he's a football coach. And his name is Morris Berger. And Morris Berger was a well-known coach. He was a College Michigan coach. Anyway, he ended up praising Hitler. And so here's the headline. Praising Hitler ends badly for football coach. Grand Valley State suspends Morris Berger after he lauds DeFuhrer for his leadership skills. So they say that this guy, Berger, claims that the way Hitler was able to lead was second to none, the college football coach said in reference to Hitler. Now his new job, of course, is in jeopardy. Days after he was announced as the defensive coordinator for the Grand Valley State Lakers football team, Morris Berger was interviewed by the student-run Grand Valley newspaper or whatever, and they said, which historical figure, unrelated to football, would you most likely want to have dinner with? Per NBC News, he said, this is probably not going to go very well. This is probably not going to get a good review. But I would say Adolf Hitler, he said. He was a former tight end coach at Texas State, by the way. It was obviously very sad. And he had bad motives. But the way he was able to lead and get people to follow was second to none. He rallied a group in the following him. And I want to learn over dinner how he did that. Bad intentions, of course, but you can't deny that he was able to get people to follow him like no other. You can't deny that he was a great leader. Anyway, it goes on. Now, Sports Illustrated also documented that he said he would, if he would had a couple of runner-up people, it would be John F. Kennedy, being that he was a good president and everything, and explorer Christopher Columbus, who ventured into the unknown. But it was his first choice that caught the attention of the university. It said that he's been suspended because of they're going to have a thorough investigation of his comments. And, of course, he in no way represents the university there. Even if you strip morality away from the assessment of leadership ability, if you want to make a point about leadership, pick somebody else, say the professors. Now, it's a big old to-do about this thing. Let's have Kurt chime in first. Kurt, you want to make a comment on this?
I'm not really sure what to add here, right. Sam.
Well, there's nothing to add. There's just your opinion. There's just your take on this. Should the guy be fired? I can ask a bunch of questions and help you if you want.
If it's, at least if we're going to that it's a government university, then it shouldn't really be existing anyway.
You can go wherever you want with
spending
it.
There.
It's a good point.
You know, it's, I just find myself thinking, well, there are a lot of things going on. And when you look at, you know, the the right to freedom of speech. In other words, the First Amendment, it seems like we've limited that in so many ways. You know, it's true that certain things get us upset, but, you know, in the old days, if somebody was the boss and they wanted to fire somebody, even if they did it because they didn't like maybe the way they did their hair or whatever else or whatever it was, they could just fire them. And now, you know, it seems like these days if somebody does something and they're in a protective class somewhere, you know, whether they're
not the Hitler guy,
a lesbian, a homosexual, you know, whatever, and they're of course, if they're white male, then they can be, you know, accused and done to anything can be done to them, unless you're like a Bernie Sanders, and then, you know, or Joe Biden, and the hats, you know, you got to leave those guys alone, Bill Clinton, etc. But it's amazing where we are these days. You know, Hitler.
Yeah, I'm not sure Kurt's take on the story. So do you think the guy should be fired?
Well, like, interestingly, I do agree. I like the America of old, where you could do business with whom you wanted for any reason or no reason. People could be fired. If you wanted to have a certain set of people in your diner, you could do that. But those are for private entities. If this is a public institution, a public state-funded university, I had heard a story of a guy who was who had some conservative beliefs, which is enough to get you fired now. You know, honestly, they could have made as much of a stink about Christopher Columbus being one of his runner-ups, the way things have run off the rails with regard to political correctness. But I knew a guy, or rather a story of a guy who worked for the VA who said something controversial, and they weren't able to fire him because the VA was a state-funded, you know, entity. So I think he may be safe. If they do fire him, he should get some sort of a severance. But, you know, I'd like to have, my take on this story is, I'd like to have dinner with this coach because he actually said something interesting instead of the same boilerplate. You know, I'd want to have dinner with Gandhi or MLK or, you know, some icon that's permissible. He actually said something interesting and he gave a good reason for it. You know, it goes back to the thing, you know, about that I've heard about Hitler. It's that because of who Hitler was and what he's known for, everything he ever said or did must be an error. And that a friend of mine came up with the quip. Well, somebody said, well, how can you believe that? Hitler believed that. And my friend said, well, Hitler also inhaled oxygen and exhaled carbon dioxide. Maybe you should stop doing that because Hitler did it. So therefore it must be bad. You know, I think it was an interesting answer. It was a provocative answer. No, of course he shouldn't be fired for it, but this is where we're at. And it's this whole thing, you're going to do a comprehensive, thorough investigation. Well, what is there to investigate? It was a comment. He made a comment. I mean, what are you going to uncover by digging into it? I mean,
you're going to become the thought police, and you're going to dig into his intentions and motives. And are you really a Hitler fan? And do you really believe in, you know, hating the Jews? And they're going to go through a whole litany of, you know, in my opinion, marginalizing this coach to say it doesn't matter who you are, or what you've accomplished, or what you've done. You basically said the unpardonable. You can't do or say that in America, and you'll be shut down if you do. And I'm going to double down now to my opinion. You ready? I don't think the government has the authority to fire this guy over a comment like that. I think he has his free speech, first of all. Secondly, I agree with you guys about going back to the days of old when people could hire and fire and do whatever they want to people, and you have to just deal with it. People have their right of agency, their right of conscience, their right of choice, especially with their own private property and businesses. So I agree with Kurt on that point. It's a wise one. But I don't think the university has authority to fire the guy over his comments, but I also back the guy's comments. And I'm going to be boldly, nobly, independently saying this, and hey, let them fire me if they choose. I'm telling you that this guy has every right to say, I disagree with parts of Hitler that were evil and wrong. I have every respect for the things that Hitler did right and good and honorable. And you know what? because Hitler's such a bad man, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. How do we protect Martin Luther King Jr., who was an absolute flat-out pervert? The FBI had files on him for decades. He was around when women were raped and everything else. Whether he was involved or not, we know he had prostitutes and parties. And okay, how do we then, or Nelson Mandela or some of these other people, how do we have these despots praised to the high hills and you can't bring up anything negative about them? At the same time, this guy says, hey, you know what? I would love to sit down with Hitler for dinner. He's an interesting guy. I don't agree with the bad that he's done, but I would like to learn how he got people to follow him and learn about his leadership skills. There's no question he had them, and that's all he said. And I'm going to defend his right to say and think and believe what he wants because he has his right to his conscience and his beliefs. And I defend his right and his desire to sit down at dinner with Hitler. I defend it. Not because I'm defending Hitler in any way, but because I'm defending his right to choose and think. And don't ask me the question if you don't want the answer.
Well, Sam, you hit a grand slam right there. I mean, bravo to you. You said it all. And the thing is, would it not be interesting to have a dinner with a guy like that? I mean, I'm just saying, this is a guy who was probably the most pivotal character in all of the 20th century. And yeah, I think it would be fascinating. It's like you said, because Hitler was bad, you can't say anything good about him. And then all these other people who were good, you can't say anything bad about him. It'll be worse if the guy gets fired, but it's just the fact that he's under this scrutiny and trouble shows that this soft totalitarianism we're living under is getting harder.
What if you said you wanted to have dinner with the Savior Jesus Christ? Would you be allowed to say that? What if you said you wanted to sit down with Satan and have dinner?
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, what if you said you wanted to eat dinner with Jesus Christ, or Satan, or Charles Manson, or George Washington, or maybe you said something like some of the Southern leaders? You know, could you say that? Could you say, hey, I want to sit down with Jefferson Davis? And I want to eat dinner and talk to him and learn about how it was in the South and the leadership. How about, you know, we go on and on, right? Interesting question. Who would you go out to dinner with, Kurt? If you could pick anybody in the world, you know, who would you go out to dinner with? Living, dead, historically related, doesn't matter if they're alive or not. Who would you go out with?
Well, I'd have to just go with Jesus there at first. I mean, You know, and you said just one, I suppose.
No, I don't know if it's just one. He got three choices, right? He said Kennedy and somebody else. He got three choices. So you get choices too, Kurt. Imagine that. You get choices, you know.
Yeah, I'd probably, you know, after that, I'm not really sure what would be in the next two spots.
All right, you can think about it. How about you, James?
Obviously, it would have to be a Me Too now with Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But if just a personal thing, I would say Nathan Bedford Forrest. He's a Confederate general, of course, from Tennessee, lived most of his life, died in Memphis, where I'm from, you know, one of my personal heroes as a Southerner. I would say outside of the obvious, it would probably be Forrest.
All right. So I would basically grab my wife, and I would go out with George and Martha Washington personally.
A double date. I like that.
Yeah, I'd do a double date, and that way I could meet George and Martha. It's still only one choice. And the best part is I'd have my wife with me right where I want her to be and where I believe we belong together. And I would love to learn and discuss George's experiences in the war, and I'd like to hear Martha's side of the tale as well. So I'd pick George and Martha Washington. Now, I'd pick the savior,
but... Kurt, Sam had more time to think about this answer. That's why his answer is a lot better than ours.
There you go.
Well, Sam didn't mention that you could take your wife with you. You said you didn't say
gave you the question they gave him, Kurt. And I accepted the same question both of you guys.
And see, I've tried to learn from the way that people answer questions. It's like, did you go to the post office today? And then the answer would be... man, that NFL game was fantastic. That's how you learn to answer questions.
I don't.
That's how politicians is.
I try to answer them directly. So I just gave you the question that they gave this poor gentleman, this football coach, who Morris Berger, who I'm defending completely, has every right to say anybody he wants to. If you don't want to hear the answer, don't ask the question, okay? If you don't say Hillary Clinton... or Ocasio-Cortez, or so, okay? If I said Ocasio-Cortez, then they'd say, oh, my gosh, you're an adult American male that's a conservative, and you have this strange obsession with Ocasio-Cortez. What's up with you? Or if I said Hillary Clinton, okay, all I'm telling you is there's no good answer to this kind of a question. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what he really thinks, because all they do is use this to shut him down and get rid of him. Okay, if he wants to say Hillary, what if you said Mao Zedong? What if you said, Charles Manson?
Well, obviously it's the politics of it all that's got him in trouble. If he said Joe Stalin, who killed times as many people as Hitler, was said to have killed, you know, they would have had a problem because he was a leftist, a communist.
Okay, so I don't want to spend forever on this question, but I think it's important to defend this gentleman. He didn't say he liked the evil that Hitler had done. All he said was it's an interesting dynamic. The guy's done a lot of wrong, and I reject that wrong. However, he got people to follow him, and I, as a coach, you know, my whole job is to learn to get people to follow me and to follow our leader. That leadership was tremendous by Hitler, and I want to learn what some of the, tactics that were used to do that, and I'd love to go over dinner and learn about that. I don't find that so wrong.
Here's what we were saying before the break. So we have this soft totalitarianism. You don't really go to jail yet for having a dissenting viewpoint or a controversial
you just get fired.
Question. But you very well could get fired, and if nothing else, you're going to have your reputation tarnished for just being a free thinker and giving a provocative answer. But this goes back to because of everything that's been written and said about Hitler and the history of the Third Reich, you can't say anything objective. You can't say, that man was a spellbinding speaker. I mean, he really had some sort of almost mystical power over people. I find that interesting.
What if I, as a talk show host, said, I want to sit down and learn how he was such an incredible speaker? That's what I do. I'm a talk show host, right?
Well, there you go. But because of what the history of Hitler that's been written, you can't even say he was a good speaker. Oh, you said he's a good speaker? What are you, a Nazi? You want to kill Jews? You said Hitler's a good speaker? It's an objective. You can't even have an adult conversation now that just doesn't mirror and mimic whatever a leftist would expect.
And that's why I bring this whole discussion up, and that's why I defend this coach and why I think it's an issue. The question becomes, when will the noose tighten even more? Beyond fired, you'll go to prison, or you'll go to, quote, whatever training that they call it now. What's the training they call it, Kurt? something.
Re-education.
Re-educational training or whatever. That's where they're headed with this. And believe it or not, they're starting to create a credit system. And I don't mean a credit system like dollars and cents credit. I'm talking about a credit system in the global sphere of social media to determine if you're a good boy or a good girl following the government's line or not. China's got it, and America's trying to inculcate it into the United States right now, a.k.a. via Donald Trump. They're literally moving towards that, and that will bolster this discussion right here. How long will it be till this guy might face the firing squad for such a statement?
Well, not long. I mean, I don't know about the firing squad, but I mean, you're definitely heading toward, although that could be the end game and it wouldn't surprise me, you're definitely heading toward left-wing European-style hate speech for sentences and fines and punishment for anything that doesn't just completely toe the line of political correctness here in America, the way they've got it in the UK already and in other places.
I mean, amen. All right, I'll tell you another person I'd want to go out to dinner with if I got, because I only used one choice, you know. Now, I did add my wife to the mix, and I had more time to think about it, but I did ask the exact question that they asked this guy to you guys, and I'm answering the same question. And then if he said, no, you couldn't put your wife in there, I'd still say, I'll go out with George, just me and George then, me and former President Washington. But the second person I would like to go out to dinner with would be Abraham Lincoln. And I know the Southerners are going to want to shoot me for this because they're going to say, oh, man, he was the worst guy ever, Sam. He denied you all your states' rights and went to war and killed 600,000 people. And I mean, he was crazy. I think a little differently, though. I think the South, if I had to side with one group, I'd side with the South over the North, personally. Now, that again, will probably get me blackballed. But nevertheless, I think there were wrongs on both sides. And I would really love to pick George or former President Abraham Lincoln's brain about what made him change. Because at first he didn't want to be in the middle of this. At first he wanted to back away and didn't want war. And then all of a sudden something changed. And what happened? Did he have a guidance from God? Now, as wrong as he was, look, the nation's still together. I think we're better together than we would if we would have seceded and been separated and stuff. And I know some of the Southerners disagree with that. But I would like to know what had made Abraham Lincoln's change in view and differences of opinion and what ticked inside his brain as this all went down. I would be fascinated to know. That doesn't mean that I think Abraham Lincoln was perfect, but now the Northerners and the Southerners are going to all hate me. I'm defending the guy that defended Hitler, and I'm talking about Abraham Lincoln, and man, they ought to just do away with me immediately, right, James?
Well, we'll keep you around, Sam. But yeah, with regard to Lincoln, I mean, obviously no hero of mine. And in fact, you know, I hold him certainly to be a villain, somebody who radically changed this country away from what the founding fathers intended and so much more. But I think to answer your question, I'll try to speak for Dishonest Abe here. You know, before the war, he had offered the South concessions to help slave owners capture the runaway slaves with government support. And, all of this stuff that he's known for didn't come until 1863, 2 years into the war. That's when you got the Emancipation Proclamation. It's just pretty simple to me is that, you know, at 2 years of vicious bloodshed, 2 years in, you don't want to lose that war. And you're going to do whatever it takes to win the war. And it was all political maneuvering to gin up support for the war, which was going badly for the North in 1863, and I think that's why he had this turn of heart that he's now known for. But in any event, I think that too would be an interesting conversation. I mean, you know, you're talking about people who changed the world for better or for worse, and he's one of them.
I just wish we could openly discuss this in an adult way and recognize the interesting scenarios that unfold with these kinds of discussions. I think the question was a fair one. I don't think they asked it for an honorable intention purposes, though. And that's where the rub is. By the way,
they love that he gave the Hitler answer because now they can make another example out of this guy. Hey, y'all don't go along with everything we want you to think, say, and do, and this could be you, and here's another one we're going to offer up as an example of what's going to happen.
That's how it is. That's the point. By the way, do you know much about the doomsday clock? They say doomsday is nigh. How nigh, you ask? We've got answers.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Things could get testy in the U.S. Senate starting today as the impeachment trial of President Trump enters a new phase. Senators will begin questioning the House impeachment managers and the president's defense lawyers. Senators will submit written questions to Chief Justice John Roberts, who will then read the questions aloud. President Trump was cheering Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday for cursing out a reporter for National Public Radio.
That's impressive.
That was very impressive, Mike. That reporter couldn't have done too good a job on you yesterday, huh? I think you did a good job on her, actually.
The number rises again. The Pentagon now saying at least 50 military personnel suffered traumatic brain injuries in that Iranian missile strike earlier this month. And this is USA Radio News.
I am doing all the right things, drinking plenty of water, eating right, and exercising. But month after month, my constipation with belly pain, straining, and bloating keep coming back.
Irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, affects 13 million Americans. Linzess, linaclotide, is a prescription medication that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess helps relieve belly pain and lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and learn more at linzess.com. That's LINZESS.com. Or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Israel's applauding it, but most experts say it's unlikely the Palestinians will ever embrace the Middle East peace plan that President Trump unveiled yesterday. It does give Palestinians economic rewards of $50 billion, but it also gives Israel sovereignty over much of the Jordan Valley. Longtime Middle East negotiator Dennis Ross says the Palestinians weren't even consulted on the plan.
Well, obviously, a peace plan that has the acceptance of one party but not the other ultimately is not going to produce peace.
Retired Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher is attacking his former teammates who accused him of war crimes. Gallagher posting a video to his social media accounts calling his former platoon members cowards for testifying against him. He also posted the names, current status, and units of those who did testify at his trial. Gallagher was acquitted of fatally stabbing a wounded ISIS fighter in the neck, but he was convicted of posing for a photo with an ISIS member's corpse. This is USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, Kirk Crosby, Sam Bushman, breaking it down. You ever heard of the doomsday clock? The end is nigh, says time. Doomsday clock reaches 100 seconds to midnight. Oh boy, it's getting scary out there. 100 seconds to midnight, James.
Yeah, I've heard about the doomsday clock over the years. I wonder exactly what factors into their calculation.
Well, it's kind of like your credit score, buddy. You could never know. But what they claim is that it has to do with the intentions of, you know, how close we are to war, how close we are to mutually pushing the nuclear buttons, how close we are to just a man-made disaster just being global in scope and all that kind of stuff. And so they're saying that global warming plus Donald's rhetoric plus, you know, all these things are bringing us to the brink and we're 100 seconds to midnight. Kurt, you brought up an interesting point when I mentioned this story to you on the break. You brought up this. Go ahead, sir. It was a good point.
It just seems like I've heard about this like forever, and it all depends on, you know, your views. Like, I suppose Greta would, if she knew about this and the whole world decided to get rid of, you know, all the cars and the coal and everything else, all of a sudden she'd move the clock back to starting at the first place. And it would be safe then, wouldn't we, Kurt? You got Bernie Sanders and crew, getting on top of the Democrats. So a lot of people ought to be going, well, man, looks like the doomsday clock's doing well. The thing I'd prefer to look at is the national debt clock, but nobody really wants to bring that clock up.
I do, and your point's spot on.
Really depressing.
See, I think that brings us to the complete brink of doomsday if that debt gets to be too big. I also think there's a lot of other factors. What if we were to get rid of the Federal Reserve? Speaking of that, I think that would bring us right. I mean, midnight would the alarm clock would go off at midnight immediately, whereas bureaucrats and thugs globally would just go bananas and destroy everything. So it's an interesting discussion, and I bring it up because they're bringing it up saying the end is nigh. And when you see things like Joe Biden, he just made a statement. He says this, quote, "I sure would like Michelle to be the vice president."
He's pulling out all the
things,
because bottom line is he's sinking in the polls, and some of the Hunter, corruption stuff is getting on him. Even though he's not going to jail, or, neither is Hunter, but there's some of that mud getting on him. And, so he's pulling out the stops to say, hey, I want Michelle. And so she's going to supposedly save him. Do you think she'll accept?
What do you say, James?
Oh, I kind of doubt it. And Joe Biden said something that's pretty disturbing. He said something else equally ridiculous on the campaign trail just a few days ago. And by the way, guys, parenthetical departure here, because I want to talk about the doomsday clock too, but the Iowa caucuses, if you can believe it, are what, Monday? Monday. I mean, we are now back full steam ahead into another presidential election.
Yeah, do you see why we're 100 seconds to midnight, buddy?
That's probably it. And, of course, it was this week 4 years ago that we here at this network got credentialed by the Trump campaign. So that was 4 years ago this week, if you celebrate anniversaries, as I do. And that kicked off a year of just unprecedented coverage for all of us with regard to the mainstream press. But anyway, if Biden said this week that anybody – My son has come in here, Henry.
I think that Joe Biden is interested in Michelle because he knows that would bring him over the top in terms of success. And I think Michelle might be interested in the presidency, but not with creepy, whacked out Grandpa Joe. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, Joe, I don't know if this would creep somebody like Michelle out, but it certainly creeps me out. Joe said this week on the campaign trail, I was talking about Iowa and started chasing the rabbits, but he said chastised anyone who believed that transgendered rights wasn't the civil rights issue of our time. And all of these people, I mean, that's ridiculous just on its face. But, you know what I believe in, Sam?
All right, since you reject Joe Biden's statement, we just have to move that clock to 99 seconds to midnight, buddy.
I do want to talk about that, too. But what I believe in is eternal truth, okay?
Now we're 70 seconds to midnight.
If something is true now, it had to have been true 50 years ago, 1,000 years ago. I mean, truth doesn't change. And what I'm saying is all of these people who just go along with whatever the media is pushing, people like Biden who have no core beliefs or principles, will do whatever is expedient, whatever he believes is trendy and fashionable and in vogue, just like so many career politicians. But what I'm saying is, if this is the truth, wasn't it true 50 years ago?
Yes, of course, sir.
Office? Why wasn't he campaigning for the civil rights, the most important issue of our time, transgendered rights, 50 years ago before the media made it socially acceptable? So this just goes to show all these people are so fake and phony and bogus.
Hey, I've just decided, Kurt, I want to go to lunch with James Edwards, man. I want to go to lunch with a KKK leader, buddy.
Hey, I'm buying, buddy. I'm buying.
All right.
With regard to this group, it's comments like that where you have bona fide, well, I don't know how bona fide they are. The media makes that happen, too. But you have people who are serious contenders for the presidency who say things like that. That brings us closer to doomsday than anything that they can probably factor into their calculations. But what I want to know is, how long exactly is 100 seconds to midnight? Is that like, thousands of years? When the clock first came online, or when they first started calculating the doomsday clock, I mean, how far from midnight were we? And what are we talking about here? Because 100 seconds isn't 100
buddy,
seconds.
Buddy, you can't be asking those kind of questions. You're missing the quintessential point, which is the more socialism and the more communism and the more tyranny we have in the republic, the further from midnight we get, and the closer to liberty and freedom and free speech and Second Amendment rights and God-given guidelines and respect for morality and everything, then, that brings us closer to midnight, don't you know?
That's pretty much what I figured. See, didn't Greta move us back like an hour when she came onto the scene?
Darn right. Not only that, her and Ocasio-Cortez, twin sisters of Liberty. Them and Joe Biden. I'm sorry, Bernie Sanders. Those three socialists. We're safe.
Man, if we could just put Greta in charge, we could move it back to like 4 p.m. on the doomsday.
All right, now there's a couple. Their names are Jack and Harriet. And I think Jack and Harriet Morrison had their own, I wouldn't call it a doomsday clock, but they had their clock hit midnight. Kurt?
Right. This is Dateline Arnold, Missouri. I've never been to Arnold, but it sounds like a good place. The headline reads, couple together for nearly 65 years die on the same day. They'd been together for nearly 65 years, Jack and Harriet Morrison. They placed their beds next to each other in their final hours, allowing them to hold hands. That's according to St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Every so often, the old media actually gets a good story. 86-year-old Jack died first. Harriet, who was 83, died later. This is what a niece raised by the Morrisons said. I'm sad, but I know they're at peace and they're back together. It truly was a love story for the books. Now, why couldn't we hear more about love stories for the books like this?
Well, because you just brought us about 10 seconds to midnight, buddy.
That's true. Good point.
We're going to be set before the show ends with this much truth.
Amen. And I'm just tremendous. They basically say, you know, it talks about how they met and they, you know, held hands. They loved one another. They were together all the time. They spent their life in goodwill and philanthropy. They were just phenomenal people, says the story. I'm quite impressed with it. Anyway, good example of what we ought to be focusing on. But see, everything we want to focus on is turmoil and despair. And I'm telling you right now, 100 seconds to midnight, gentlemen. It's like, see, I don't believe in any of that garbage. Look, the Savior Jesus Christ is coming, and it's going to be a good day, not a bad day anyway. So what does this 100 seconds to midnight even mean? Does it mean till the Savior comes? Does it mean till we destroy ourselves completely? What does it even mean? And I'm convinced that we will not destroy ourselves completely. We will have a very difficult, difficult time as the people reject God. But yet I await my Savior's return, and that is not a negative doomsday scenario in any stretch of the imagination. My faith shall carry me through, ladies and gentlemen. What do you say to that, Kurt?
Amen.
James?
Well, you know that they can't, whoever's in charge of calculating the time on this clock, they can't actually ever fully take it to midnight and then nothing happen. So what do they do?
They just try to use this to manipulate you and goat you into socialism and communism and tyranny and the more, climate change. You know, it's the Chicken Little clock is what I call it.
Ordered two more of those big blue trash cans, so I think everything will be okay.
I like what Kirk said, though. We need to be talking about the national debt clock. I can't even count. I can't even see. I don't even know what number it's on.
Right, I want to talk about a chick named Amanda. Because while they're running around promoting the doomsday clock, and I say it's Chicken Little and I'm awaiting Jesus Christ, Amanda's behaving as a follower of Jesus Christ, and we'll tell you about it on your radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
All right, I think coming out of this, forget the doomsday chicken little clock made by man. Trust in the Almighty God. Jesus shall return and will await his return and do our best to be his disciples and follow him until he comes. That's how I roll, ladies and gentlemen. But Amanda is doing just that as well, Kurt.
Great point, Sam. And the headline reads, FedEx driver feels God call her to pray with woman. Returns to her front door 20 stops later. Her name is Amanda Riggin. She's a young woman with a heart for people and God. Now, they say she works hard both as a FedEx driver and running something called Hungry Heroes. It's on a mission to encourage others and thank local heroes by making them food. A website for Hungry Heroes explains the group's mission. Thanks to the amazing support from the community and local businesses, Hungry Heroes has been able to serve over 600 heroes throughout York, you know, and it goes on. But, you know, the bottom line is they say that's not all she does. Recently, she had an opportunity to go beyond her job's requirements to bring comfort to a woman who desperately needed it. She recorded a clip after her heartfelt encounter and shared it on Facebook. Quote, "Hey, everyone, as you can tell, I'm at work." She starts, "I just had to pull over and share something real quick." Quote, "As I'm delivering, I pull up to this house. The lady walks out because she's checking her mailbox for her newspaper, and I have two boxes for her. So we start walking up the driveway together, and she asked me if I had a happy holidays, and I was telling her how busy it was. I told her I had a really great Christmas and New Year's, and I asked her the same. I was like, how was your holidays? And with tears in her eyes, she said it wasn't good. She said, he's sick. My husband's sick. He has cancer. I continued a small talk and tried to change the subject because that's awkward, and I deliver her package. She said, what's your name? I said, Amanda. And she told me her name. I drove off. My heart's pounding. I do probably 20 more stops, and I have to go back. Going back meant losing time when timeliness was critical for her line of work. She'd get home later. She might not deliver packages as quickly, but that paled in comparison to the important job she knew God had put on
her heart. Now, in my opinion, her act makes that doomsday clock go further from midnight, but it also makes the Savior's return sooner, maybe, Kurt?
Good point. She said, I stopped what I was doing. I went back to that neighborhood and rang her doorbell. I asked her if she came down the stairs. She had tears in her eyes. When she saw it was me, she smiled, and I said, ma'am, can I pray with you? And she just broke down. She came out on the front porch and squeezed me so tight. After making a conscious decision to stop, turn, and go back to offer comfort to that lonely, heartbroken woman, Amanda Riggin has some words of encouragement for anyone else who's felt a similar calling to go back and reach out to someone to do something kind.
When you get the good promptings, you got to obey and become ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what this broadcast is about. And we commend Amanda for her leadership. And I know it cost her time and her job and all that kind of stuff. But she, in my opinion, picked the better part as the biblical phrase talks about when it speaks about Mary. And I hope we pick the better part. I know Tim Tebow has picked the better part, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point. You know, you don't hear much about him since, you know, he hasn't, you know, killed anybody or, you know, whatever. But he did actually find the woman of his dreams and got married in an intimate sunset ceremony in South Africa. Tim Tebow, one of our favorites, homeschool kid, coming famous and, you know, committed to virginity until, you know, the wedding. And, you know, here's a great story because he married the former Miss, what is it, Universe from South Africa. It tells about some of the food and all that kind of stuff, but the bottom line is, hey, he's a married man now. And
yeah, and they said he had to have a keto-friendly cake, by the way, just to learn about
keto
a little bit, folks.
That's right. They chose cheesecake so he could stick to his diet. Good point, Sam.
Anyway, pretty good.
That's right.
But, you know, these are two pretty famous people, Tim Tebow and Demi Lee Peters.
That's right.
Lee Nell Peters, I guess is how you say it. Anyway, the other thing that's interesting is not only did they get married, but he basically said, my dreams have come true.
And by the way, she said she's taken his last name, Sam.
Whoa. Good for her. I like
kinda
that.
Kind of old-fashioned stuff.
No, it's phenomenal. Man, we're further from midnight for the Noom's 8 o'clock right now just because of that.
Me.
Telling you right now, people getting married, male and female, created them. God-ordained marriage.
Right.
Now they have a God-ordained family and bring children into the world. And man, I wonder if Tim can convince Demi to homeschool, Kurt.
Wow. At least Tim knows a lot about it. I mean, the first homeschool kid I've ever heard of that became the Heisman Trophy winner and went on to fame and fortune, et cetera. And, you know,
Tim Tebow reflects on breaking ground as a homeschool student. He said, it's pretty good to view yourself as different. The football, baseball star never set foot in a government school until he went to the University of Florida, Kurt.
That's right. That's right. And, bottom line is, his parents, you know, spent time with him, and his, I think he had five brothers and sisters. They, you know, he says, I did a lot of different projects on Jackie Robinson, Jesse Owens, because I was so interested in it. I mean, imagine being able to focus on the stuff you're really interested in at school.
You'd ruin everything. It would be doomsday for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, you were homeschooled, says, right, James?
I was for the last 3 years anyway.
There you have it, Kurt.
There you go.
And you know, and I talk about that a lot. I talk about that a lot. I mean, I did. It's not as though kindergarten through ninth grade were bad. I went to a private Christian school, and it was a fantastic school, a great experience. My dad was a basketball coach there, and I played on the team. And that was a good you know, education. But I think it was homeschooling that was the catalyst in me turning at that point in my life into something more politically.
Yeah, headline and say homeschool cause of KKK leadership or something like that. See,
well, I think that shift is what you know was a big catalyst in leading me into getting involved in something bigger than myself and you know trying to make a positive difference.
And that would mean homeschooling is credited to putting us all together, huh?
Yeah, I don't think that's a stretch. I mean, you know, there's always a long and broken trail that leads people to a destination. But homeschooling was big. I think if I'd have stayed, if my parents hadn't made the decision to homeschool me through high school, I would have probably gone to college and gone into a regular career path, and that would have been that, just like everybody else.
All right, Kurt?
Yeah, Mr. Tim Tebow, who's now a married man, says, you know, talking about his family, we did homeschooling because my parents wanted to instill love in us and purpose in our lives, that you were created in love, for love, and to give love. Boy, I'll tell you what, the doomsday clock is moving back, Sam.
I got that right. And by the way, I think we really need to take those viewpoints to heart. Jeff Hunt speaks about Donald Trump, Kurt.
Well, great point. You know, he says, you know, that Donald Trump's the most successful pro-life president in U.S. history. He's, by the way, the director of the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University. I'd never heard of him. But he described President Trump as the most successful pro-life president This was ahead of the March for Life event, but students of the Christian University were selected to co-lead 2020's March for Life. The bottom line is the president's doing some real good there, Sam.
Amen. And I commend him for it. Again, just because I bring up other issues, that doesn't mean that I don't support that. We got to highlight what we agree with and promote it as well. And Donald made another pledge, and I hope he keeps this. Kurt?
Well, that's right. The headline reads, President Trump pledges to never leave Second Amendment unprotected. Yeah, there you go. Good.
You want to respond to any of these stories, James?
Well, I like the touch, guys, finishing the final segment of the broadcast with really some nice, pleasant, healthy, wholesome news. I read the story about Tim Tebow. I'm sure he's very happy with the way that all worked out, and saw the pictures at the wedding and the story about the woman. I mean, I'd like to see Trump doing a little more on the Second Amendment issue, but I guess there's only so much he can do with regard to what happened in Virginia with that state legislature. But even so, still a good positive segment to end on today.
There you have it.
At least it brings you back from the brink, where you're close to suicide and all that kind of stuff,
Hold on a minute.
Go ahead.
Let the record be very clear. I'm never close to suicide. If they tell you I ever arc inside, tell them they're lying, because it ain't true. Nevertheless, I agree that these doomsdayer naysayers who don't believe in Christ, of course it's doomsday for them. That's all the history has to offer, is doomsday or their twisted view of what's not doomsday. Both of them are doomsday, in my opinion, because they both reek of satanic influence. I support the return of the Savior Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do everything within my power to be a minister, a servant, of my master, Jesus Christ, and follow him. And I'm going to do all that I can to see good throughout the world. I'm going to be a minister of his discipleship and do all that I can to make sure that the Savior returns and we jettison the doomsday scenario they plot for us all. That's my statement.
One more little quick comment on from Tim Tebow when he mentioned the homeschooling thing. He said, the amazing thing about homeschooling is you get to love on your kids. You get to embrace them. You get to believe in them. You get to share with them over and over and over and over again. And the chances of them believing it are so much higher. And that's what we want our kids to be.
Wow. What if we rolled out that viewpoint? The doomsday clock could just be shut down, James.
Mm-hmm. Well, that Kurt really hit on something right there. As homeschooling families all, I have children now of my own. My son has not yet started kindergarten, but my daughter is in the fourth grade, and we homeschool her. And, I wouldn't trade that for anything. Just I would miss them so bad if they had to be sent to school. It's just such a privilege and a pleasure and a joy to be able to have all day, every day with your kids. And life is short.
Amen to that. You think Donald will?
That's right. One day you're 16 and one day you're 62.
Because it's the only way that you might be able to homeschool in the future.
I said that one more time. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with Kurt too. That's for sure. And it does speed up as you get older. There hasn't really been I haven't seen too many advancements against homeschooling in the Trump administration. Homeschooling kind of been passed over, like the plague has passed over the house of homeschooling for now. I'm sure they'll get back to it eventually, but right now everything seems
if
to be
okay. Take away your guns, buddy, you won't be homeschooling, my friend.
That's right. You're right about that. Fantastic.
And Donald pledges to protect our Second Amendment, and I pray that he's successful. How's that for an ending, gentlemen?
Amen.
Cue the music. You can't top it. Hey, guys, it's such an honor to be a part of this team and this network. I love y'all.
Thanks, man. There he goes, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check out his award-winning broadcast every Saturday night and available 24/7 via archive, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And the mainstream press lies. It's fake news. He's not a KKK leader, by the way. He's an honest, God-fearing American. That's probably his crime, huh? All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. We endorse James Edwards, and we pray for everyone, even our enemies. And we reject the doomsday clock and await our return of the Savior, Jesus Christ. God save the Republic of the United States of America.